Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you're going to speak to each and every one of us and open our eyes that we can see, because we do not want to live as unwise. We really want to live as wise. And help us to make the most of every opportunity, because the day are evil. As what is happening today, as we hear the news in U.S., we see that people turning away from you. And really, we are living in the days which are really, really evil. And I pray that you help us to discern what is good and what is bad. And help us not to be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And help your servant to explain your word clearly to your children. And so that we live a life that is pleasing in your sight. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I pray that these three Bible words will be your vision ahead of you. Okay? First of all, I'm going to talk to the young people first, okay? Especially CC, I'm speaking to you, okay? Michael, I'm speaking to you. Be very careful how you live. Live not as unwise child. Live as a wild child. To the best of your understanding, how should you live in order to be a wise child? Tell me. Okay, how do you make the most of every opportunity? What is your opportunity in a time like this? So what's the Lord's will for you? Do you know? Do you know what's the Lord's will for you? Do what is right. What is the right thing? Okay, memorizing scripture. What else are the right thing for you to do in your age? Okay? Read the Bible, understand the Bible, okay? And do them, okay? What did the Bible say to you in your age? He wants you to fooling around, daydreaming, wasting time. What did he want you to do? After school, turn on the TV and watch TV. What would the Lord say to you when your parents not around? Do your school work, okay? You got to work hard, okay? Be wise, not unwise, okay? In your age, make use of every opportunity. And now is the time for you to learn, not only to learn God's word, you have to learn schoolwork and do it well. You understand? What's the Lord's will for you other than that? To study scripture, to study your schoolwork, do it well at school. What else? Obey your parent. Okay? If your parents say to me that you disobey him, then what happened? Now, I want to talk to Joshua. Okay? Joshua, I want you to read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 17. I want you to read three times until you understand what it really means. And then you tell me, what did the Lord say to you through the Holy Spirit in these three Bible verses? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 17. Be very careful right? What does it mean by be very careful? If I'm not careful, what happened? If I'm not careful, I won't live as wise man, right? Very, very easy for each and every one of us to fall from grace. Unless we are very, very careful, right? Be very careful to live as wise man, not as unwise child, right? Keep on going.
Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish to understand what the Lord is doing. Be very careful that having the son is unwise, but is wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish to understand what the Lord is doing. Be very careful that having the son is wise, as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil.
Okay, based upon these three Bible verses, what did the Lord speak to you in your own life? So, Gabriel, I want you to think about that too. Next one is you, okay? Because I just want to apply. Have you ever studied mathematics? And then another title called Apply Mathematics. That means you apply what you learn in your life. You understand? You study some physics, some is applied physics. And you study God's Word and how you apply God's Word in our own lives. Okay? Based upon Ephesians 5:15-17, be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. A wise man know how to make the good use of every opportunity. Why? Because the days are evil. What does it mean by the days are evil? Do you know what it means by the days are evil? Do you know what it really means, the word? Because the days are evil. Do you know, Joshua? Do you know what it really mean? You don't know? Joyce, do you know what it really mean? Because the days are evil? Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. I give you one illustration. Do you know the answer? What does it mean by because the days are evil? Because the day are evil, that means we have a lot more opportunity to sin against God now than the previous generation, right? Isn't it? Is that what you really mean? Or more than that? Moses, do you know what it means by because the days are evil? What does it got to do with the days are evil, with making the most of every opportunity? I give you some clue, okay? In Genesis chapter 6, remember the flood? God speak to Noah in those days because the day are what? The days are evil too. When the days are evil, that means what? That means God's judgment is coming. When God's judgment is coming, same as, you finish the midterm, you finish all the quizzes, you know the final exam is coming. But if the final exam is coming and you are not prepared for the final exam, oh, that is not good. Right? So, because the day are evil, that means the judgment are coming soon. And on top of that, based upon Revelation chapter 12, because the day are evil, that means Satan is what? Knowing that he don't have much time. He gonna what? He gonna go wild. He can attack, right? Isn't it? Now, Joshua, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Based upon Revelation chapter 12, let's read that. Based upon Genesis chapter 6, take a look at the Old Testament. Hey, Genesis is the first book in the New Testament. It's the first book in the Old Testament. And Revelation is the last book of the New Testament, right? Genesis chapter 6. Joshua, could you read that? Chapter 6, verse 1 all the way to verse 8. Genesis 6, 1 to 8. Put your hand in here, okay? Both hands. So what did you see? Verse 5, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth has become, and that every inclination of the thought of his heart was only evil all the time. That means in those days, the days are evil. Then what happened? Verse 6, the Lord was grieved that he has made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I have created from the face of the earth, man and animal and creature that move along the ground, and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. When the day are evil, that means what, Joshua? That means judgment are coming. When judgment are coming, we don't have much time to serve God, right? So when the day are evil, from God's perspective, that means I do not have much time to serve God. I better making use of every opportunity that I can serve God. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? I want you to read Revelation chapter 12, verse 1 all the way to the entire chapter 12, okay? Read it. Revelation chapter 12. Do you know this Revelation? Go.
Of our brother, who is required God.
right beside the verse 14, where she would be taken care of for a time. A time mean 1 year, times mean 2 years, half a time mean half a year. The Israelite, the nation of Israel, will be taken care of for the 3.5 years. Okay? Seven years of tribulation, the first half of the 7 years tribulation is 3.5 years. Time mean 1 year, times mean 2 years, 1 plus 2 equals 3, half a time is half a year, so it's 3.5 years. 3.5 years is equivalent to chapter 12, verse 6, 1,260 days. The Jewish calculation is 1 month equal to 30 days. So 3.5 years is equal to how many months? 42 months. 42 months times 30 is 1,260 days. That woman is talking about the nation Israel. In verse 12, therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. Why those people who dwell in heaven can rejoice? Because Satan has been hurled down from heaven to earth. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil is Satan. The devil has gone down to you. He was hurled down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows his time is short. That is the day of evil from Satan's perspective. What did I just say? I look at the days of evil, I look at it from two perspectives. Genesis chapter 6, regarding the flood during that time, right? The flood is the judgment of God upon those generations. Revelation is also the judgment on the future generation. It's our generation. You understand? In those days in Genesis, God judged people with what? With flood, with water. In future generation, God going to judge us with what? With fire. Pain and suffering. Now I want to stop here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 17. What did Paul say? Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making use of every opportunity, because the days are evil. The judgment is coming. In those days, is by flood, by water. In our days, is by fire. It will come. In those days, how can people were saved? Noah built the ark. I want to stop here. Look at me, Joshua. What if, assuming you are Noah, he asked you to make an ark so that make sure you and your entire household, your entire family, enter into the ark. You say, no, I want to be a medical doctor. You understand what I'm trying to say? In those days, did he have a lot of time? In Noah's time? God gave him what? Do you know when did God speak to him? He said, the world has only 120 days. So God gave him what? I'm sorry, not 120 days, 120 years. When he was 480 years old, he hear the word, God's word. When he is 480 years old, he hear God's word. And then he start building the Noah Ark. At the age of 600, he finished building the Ark. And he bring his entire family, enter into the ark. Lo and behold, and then the door was shut. And the flood come. At that time, when he hear God's word, did he have any child? No. When he has child, he has three children, right? At the age of what? 500. So 20 years later, 480 years he hear the word of God. 20 years later, he has three children at the age of 500. So he start building the Noah Ark at the age of 480. I believe he is a businessman. I tell you, because he has money. Otherwise, how can he stop? How can he stop his career? 480 years doesn't mean that he will die. In those days, they live up to what? 900 some odd years. You understand what I'm trying to say? So 480 years, that means you only live half of your age. Like, well, maybe now today's 70 years, assuming, okay? Assuming 70 years. If you're 70 years old, that means you're 35, that means you live half of your age already, right? But he stopped that. He's not doing what he wanted to do. Stop his career at the age of what? At the peak of his career. Do you see that? In those days, could you take a look at Genesis chapter 5? How old Adam lived up to? 930? Okay. The oldest man is 969. Adam lived up to 930. The youngest one is the youngest one, I think, is the eighth generation. He lived up to 777 years. He's the youngest man. At the peak of his career, he stopped that. I say to myself, you know what? I come to know the Lord at the age of 28. 3 years later, that means at 32, I'm sorry, 31. I hear God's word saying to me, do not be an engineer, be a pastor. I say yes. But then I keep on doing what I'm doing. And then 3 years later, when I'm 34, he say that again. I say, yeah, I will do it. But I keep doing what I'm doing. Another 3 years later, at 37 years old, he said to me, do not deceive me any longer. Don't just give me a lip service. When you say yes, do it. Do it. Nowadays we give God a lot of lip service. Am I right? You say, yeah, I want to do it. I want to read more scripture. Just like Michael said, I will read more scripture. He didn't even put his hand on the table. How can he read more scripture? You know what I mean? A lot of people give lip service to God. So, when the Lord say, I don't want you to be an engineer. I want you to be a pastor. The first person I heard this voice, I heard from Stephen, Reverend Stephen Tong. Six years after I believed Jesus Christ as a Christian. No, I'm sorry. I believe in Jesus at 29. So 29, 3 is what? 32, 32, 3 is 35, 35, 3 is 38, okay? At 38, he said to me, sell the business, follow after me. The first time I heard it is from Reverend Stephen Tong, and then I heard it from Philemon Choi. But I didn't do any follow-up. The third time, when I hear it, and when I studied the Bible, I hear very, very clear. At that time, it's November. And then I prepare. I use 6 months' time to prepare myself. So I'm around 38 and a half years old at that time. I drive to New York. At that time, Joyce is 6 months old. And ever since then, no turning back. If we truly believe in what God says, unless, you know, I just read the Bible and I don't believe in it. Nowadays, a lot of people just read the Bible and the pastor will say, wow, he's a good Christian already, because a lot of Christians, they don't even read the Bible. You know what I mean? A lot of Christians, they don't read the Bible, I tell you. If they go to the church on every Sunday to worship God, to listen to the sermon, they will say, well, I'm a good Christian already. But that's not what the Bible says. You know what the Bible says? In chapter 5, verse 15 to 17, he said, be very careful how you live. Don't live for yourself. If you live for yourself, you are unwise. If you live for Jesus, you are wise. If Noah in those days lived for himself, continue his business, whatever he's doing. The Bible didn't say that what was he doing. But I know that he must be a rich man. How do I know he must be a rich man? He can drop off his career. He stopped doing what he's doing. At the same time, he has money to support his entire family. On top of that, he can invest his money and time to build a Noah Ark. You understand what I'm trying to say? They're building that Noah Ark. It's not generating revenue. It's not saying, oh, I build this and then I sell this to you at where you or whatever. No, it's not. He's not selling anything. He worked as a preacher and he paid money to people and say, okay, I hire you as a worker. Could you build me the big ark, right? And people must ask him, why are you doing what you're doing? Then he explained, tell them the gospel, the good news. God can destroy the nation, the whole world with flood, right? And people laugh at him. You know why people laugh at him? Based upon Genesis, in those days, the whole world has never rained. No rain. And you say that rain will come down and flood the whole world? And where did he build the mountain? Where did he build the Noah Ark? He built the Noah Ark on top of the mountain. How can water will rise up to the top of the mountain and then lift up the ark? He thought this old man is sick, okay? He's weird. He's insane. He's not wise. And yet he's the wisest man. Do you remember what have we learned in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2? As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Who is he? The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. The devil are very busy working to deceive us. He say, wow, you know, Joshua, you know, John Lamb, you don't live out your potential, you won't be happy. You know, you got to achieve what you can achieve, then you'll be a happy man. He tried to deceive us. Do you really believe there was a flood, Gabriel, back then? So after God revealed to Noah, so 120 years later, it's really a flood, right? The whole world was destroyed. Only a family of eight were saved. The one who believed. The one who stopped everything and prepared the ark. Joshua, do you believe there's going to be a fire from heaven? Do you really believe in that? How are you going to prepare yourself?
Faith.
Okay. How do you prepare? How do you prepare yourself? Have you read the Bible? So what did the Bible say to you based upon Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 17? He didn't say that you have to be a pastor. Okay. Be very careful what? Okay, now, do not be foolish, but understand the Lord's will is. Based upon your understanding of the Bible, could you please tell me how can I understand God's will in my own life? In my own life, that means in your own life. Continue meditating God's word. Where does it say that continue meditating God's word, then you will know God's will? Where? Psalm 119. Psalm 25, you read that to me then. You say, meditate God's word will help you to understand God's will. What did the Bible say? Okay, now, so based upon Proverbs, seeking God's will, I mean studying God's word, is not just spending half an hour, 1 hour every day, we'll be able to get it. You think spending 1 hour, we will be able to get it?
No.
I don't think so. Because if that's the case, Solomon don't have to say from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 8, seek wisdom. You understand what I mean? Quite allow for understanding. Seek the word of the Lord as if you seek treasure. You know, I mean, come on. If treasure is so easy to get it, people won't die for it. Treasure, you have to risk your life to get treasure because treasure is very precious. You understand what I'm trying to say? So now I heard the news yesterday that somewhere near Hawaii, they're going to have a new treasure that China may not like because, you know, how you using that material to build iPod. Now they get a lot of what you call, I forgot the name of that material. George, do you know the name of that material? You don't know what's new? Well, you guys don't know. Okay, that's fine. Now, I tell you how do we know God's will, okay? Other than just meditate, start from 97 to 100 will help you, okay? To know God's will. You meditate on it and put it into practice, okay? And then more clearly is what Paul, Because Paul must have read Psalm 119, Paul must have read Proverbs, and then he found out the way to know God's will. To test God's will, to approve God's will, is to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, the only way for us to know God's will, to test God's will, to approve God's will, to know what is really His will for my life, is to offer yourself as living sacrifices. But lo and behold, let me tell you one thing. I heard a lot of Christians, now listen to me, I heard a lot of Christians to me saying to me that, if I know God's will for my life, then I will be a pastor. Then I will serve God. Or some other Christians say to me, if I know God's will for me to do this, to go and visit people, to share the gospel, if I know God's will for me to do that, I will do it. But I don't know yet. Have you ever heard a thing like that? Have you? Gabriel, you have heard of that, right? Okay? I want you to write it down, Matthew 12, chapter 12, verse 30. If I do not agree with God's word, I am God's enemy. If I'm not gathering with Jesus, I'm scattered. Paul saying the opposite thing. What did Paul say? Therefore, my brother, I urge you in view of God's mercy to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. This is the right thing to do. Do not conform any longer, because we used to conform the pattern of this world. When I conform the pattern of this world, I live in transgressions and sins. Based upon Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live. When you follow the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. I know that. And Paul knows that too. Because that's why Paul saying, do not conform any longer. Because we have been conforming all the days of our life, even though we become a Christian. We still conform the way of the world. But Paul say, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. When I'm transformed by the word of God, by the Holy Spirit, and what happened? Then and only then, you will be able to test and approve the Lord's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Am I right? So what did Paul say? What did God say? In order for me to know God's will, is meditating good enough? How can I know God's will? I believe Paul might have read Proverbs. He's a diligent in God's word, right? I know Paul must have read Psalm 2. But he found out. You know, Paul memorized so much God's word, he still don't understand. Until Jesus opened his eye, opened his mind, renew his heart, and asked Paul, you offer your body as living sacrifice to me. Lo and behold, all of a sudden, Paul understands God's will. But we as Christians, what do we say? Wait until I understand God's will before I serve you. Before I offer myself to you. But what God say? But what Paul say? Could you tell me what Paul say? Which one come first? Understand first? Or offer your body first? Which one come first? Joshua? Now I want to go back to non-Christian, okay? Have you ever heard non-Christian saying to you, "Oh, Pastor John, I cannot believe in Christ now. I want to make sure I understand God's word before I believe in Jesus." Have you ever heard of that? I want to make sure I understand God's word before I commit myself to be a Christian. Before I want to be a believer. Have you ever heard people saying to you? David, have you ever heard of that? You never heard of that. Carl, have you ever heard of that? All the time, right? How can we understand God's word if I don't even want to put my faith in Jesus? A step of faith. I know if it's good, if I make a mistake, if it's no good, he's not a good Lord, but I commit myself to him. Then I make a big mistake. If I really believe that he's good Lord, even though I make mistake, he will correct me. He will change my course. He say, my son, this is the right path, not this path. Even though your father will do that to you, if he find out that you make a mistake, he will change your course and help you. Am I right? How much our Heavenly Father, he will help you. Unfortunately, we were all deceived by Satan, by the devil. As if offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God is a big loss. No. You know what? In verse 1, it's pleasing to God, is holy and pleasing to God. And then in verse 2, It's good to me. It's pleasing to me. It's perfect to me. No fault. It's good stuff. We won't know until we do it. You know, very sad. I seen last Sunday, after my sermon in the west side, there's a brother come to me and say that, "Pastor John, I would like you to pray for my brother." And then he hand me the phone. And then I talked to him inside the church, because probably it's concrete wall. I can't hear so much. I go outside and hear. I heard him crying. He said, "I'm about to die now." He said, "I want you to pray for me." I say, "What's wrong?" And he just cried. I say to that brother, "I have to go to the south side to lead the worship, and I will finish by 4 o'clock. By 4 o'clock, we're going to see him. Okay?" It takes 2 to 2.5 hours for the driving. So during the driving, his brother tell me what's wrong with his brother. His brother, when he was young, he taking cocaine. And then, he didn't know that when he buy the cocaine, people put heroin inside. And a lot of grass, I don't know what it is. I'm just using the word whatever he used, okay? And now he get hooked to it. He get hooked to it. So when I see him, he's just like that man. I share the gospel to him. I'm making the good use of the opportunity. I know from the Bible that I read based upon Psalm 107, when people are hungry, when people are thirsty, when people are depressed, when people are in darkness, when people are in bondage, when people are in sickness, when people are in wickedness, that is the best opportunity to lead them to Christ. You know what? When you are in sickness, when you are in a gloomy, darkness situation, you still don't wake up, you'll be dead. So I make use of that opportunity. We leave the church at, I think, around 4:15, 4:30. So we arrive, it's around 6, 7 o'clock. So we share the gospel to him. And he comes to know Christ. And I make the commitment to him. I say, now that you are Christian, and you have this kind of addiction, and I'm going to commit to you to have a Bible study with you. He's crying and kneeled down to accept Jesus Christ, and his wife was crying too. And then I baptized both of them in the bathtub. And later on, I baptized his mother. And their brother said to me, Pastor John, I should have led you to my brother earlier. A lot of Christians, he himself was not in gloomy darkness. Okay? He himself is not in sickness. But his brother was in sickness. Under bondage of drugs. And he did not bring the pastor to save his brother. You understand what I'm trying to say? He said to me, I tried in Hong Kong, the Christian detoxic center, get rid of the drugs, it didn't work. I tried his brother-in-law is an RCMP. He tried that, it didn't work either. He said, no one can save me. You know what did I say? If human being can save you, then we should take off Jeremiah 13:23. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. The prophet Zechariah said, not by might nor by power, but by my Holy Spirit. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23. Wesley, could you read that? Jeremiah 13:23. Chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 23. You cannot find it. We get so used to live in sin. We live in sin, we get so used to it. We used to follow the pattern of this world. We follow so much that we are under bondage, we can't get out of it. If a black guy can change his skin color, if a leper can change the color of his spot, you can change your bad habit. You cannot change it by your own strength. You can only change it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he believed in it. I say, I can help you. I can bring you to Jesus and invite Jesus Christ to enter into your heart. Have the Holy Spirit enter into your heart. And then you study God's word. And you do his will.
You offer yourself to God, and He will be able to help you. We are living in an evil day. Because the days are evil, we don't have much opportunity to serve God. Do you remember what I say last Sunday, based upon Matthew chapter 12? What happened to those people that who was demon-possessed, and then demon was cast out? If he don't study God's Word, he don't let God's Word fill his heart, he didn't let the Holy Spirit fill his heart, what happened? Gabriel, do you know what happened? Do you remember what happened? What did the Bible say? That's exactly what happened to that fellow. He thought he can do it based upon his own strength, he can get rid of that drugs. He cannot. You know, nowadays a lot of Christians thinking that I'm a Christian now, I'm okay. And he didn't remember God's word. He didn't meditate on that. Right? What happened? What happened if you offer your body as a living sacrifice to our Lord Jesus Christ? If you offer your body to Him, what will He do to your body? Will He fill His Word within your body? Will He fill your body with His Holy Spirit? And you think Satan can get in? How can Satan get in? According to 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, what is inside me is powerful than what is inside the world. How can devil come into my body? I have offered my body to the Lord already. Could you read that 4:4? 1 John? Joshua? Do you really want the Lord to fill your body, to protect your body, to elongate your life? Don't let anything to attack your body, because based upon 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, my body is the temple of God. Anyone who destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. Do you really think that God would not? Do you think that Satan would? Do you not want to destroy your body? Or he will let you go? Think about that. What's the best way to protect your body? When you are filled with God's word, filled with His Spirit, I don't think Satan dare to get close to you. I don't think so. Right? Isaiah 65 verse 8. You know, Isaiah is saying that. You know, if that tree is bearing fruit, no one will say, cut it down, spare the tree. If that life is bearing fruit, praying people to come to know Jesus Christ, a lot of people will pray for that fellow. Lord, spare his life. Spare his life. Gabriel, could you read that? Isaiah 68:5. You know, once I say to you whatever I said, I'm seeking God's will for your life too. You understand what I'm trying to say? I'm not just speaking to you the word of God. I want to confirm that. What's the best way for you? 68, Isaiah 68, verse 5. 65, verse 8.
This is what the Lord said. As when Jesus still founded and clustered grapes, and then said, don't destroy it, there yet some good in it. So I will do in my behalf of my servants. I'll not destroy them all.
When I offer my body as a living sacrifice, there's not just good in it. There's a lot of good in it. You understand? Nowadays, a lot of people, they don't want Jesus to use our life. Even though Christians do not want that. If my relative wants to offer his body to God, oh, wow, that is holy. That's pleasing to God. And God will not protect it? No way. He will protect it. Because that is mine. Anyone who touch me, touch me. Anyone who touch you, touch him, right? Because you are the apple of his eye. You don't belong to yourself now. You belong to God, right? You offer yourself to him, right? Is this the safest place? Don't you think? Do you see what I see? So what does it mean? No, do you see what I see? Huh? Kind of, eh? Go back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 17. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise. You know what is unwise? Based upon Matthew, unwise is a foolish one. Foolish one who hear God's word and do not put it into practice. You know who is the foolish one? The foolish one is just like the foolish virgin. He has the lamb, but does not have the oil. He's not prepared for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know who is the foolish one? In Noah's time, he get the money from Noah and help Noah to build the ark, and yet he say, no way, Jose, I won't enter in. I just want your money. I don't believe in what you say. I live my own life. You are foolish. He think you are foolish. But in fact, he himself is foolish. So unwise is the one who hear God's word, but do not apply it. Do not prepare ahead of time. And keep waiting. And just saying what the other people are saying. Oh, wait until I hear loud and clear that this is God's will in my life. But Paul say, the only way to test and approve God's will is to offer yourself first. No other way. I wish I can find another way. You understand what I'm trying to say? It's amazing, eh? Joshua, do you know that I love you? Do you love me? You love me? Wow, based upon John 14:21, if you love me, you do what I say. Joyce, do you love me? What does your daddy want you to do? Yeah. Okay. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual acts of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then and only then, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. you know what, you can live your life as an accountant, yeah, but I don't think you'll be more happy as a pastor. Joyce, same to you. I think you should use this year to the next year. You think about what you're going to do. You know what? While Pastor John is still alive, I want to study scripture with you guys and prepare you to be a good pastor. I don't want you just preach the gospel to our second generation Chinese. I want you to share the gospel to the Caucasian. Pay them back the debt that we owe to them. Without the white people sharing the gospel to us and help us to translate the Bible, we won't be a Christian now. Now's the time to pay them back. You know what? When you see Jesus face to face, He's going to call you good, faithful, useful, precious servant of mine. Better than earning money. And how come you say, what about Daniel? What about Christopher? For them, still a long way to go. Why? Because they memorize Bible verses, they don't understand. They don't have life experience. You know who has the most life experience? Joshua. Because he's facing death. And that's why I say making the most of every opportunity. Because the day are coming. The day are coming, not just apply to him, to me too. Right? I'm 60. I'm going to be 60 pretty soon. I don't have much time. Right? People can live up to where? Up to 70, right? If it's healthy, can live up to 80. But when you live up to 80, your mind's not that good already. Useless. Have you ever seen any powerful preacher 80 years old? Not much other than Moses. I mean, Moses Lamb, right? Oh, what do you mean, no? Moses lived up to 120. So Miriam, you make sure that you look after him, okay? Just like that Miriam looked after Moses in those days. You know what I mean? Oh, man. Do you understand, Hannah? What's the best way to understand God's will? What's the best way to live a wise life? That's right. Live for Jesus. You know what? The moment you live for Jesus, and God say, Hannah, I know you. Who you want? Tall, dark, and handsome, right? I give you the best one. You don't offer yourself to God. He give you a short one, an ugly one. Man, man, man. Oh, man. So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you speak to each and every one of us. Help us not to live as a foolish man. If we truly believe in your word, help us to put it into practice, not to wait any longer. Just like what Paul urged us, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, so that we truly know God's will for our own lives. And so that we can live to the fullest and to glorify you. Lord, if we glorify you, we know that in due time you're going to honor and glorify us and help us to be wise, not as unwise, making use
of making the most, making use of the opportunity to bring people into the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for those three people that who was baptized last Sunday, 2 days ago. I pray that you continue to set them apart, guard them, protect them, fill them with your Holy Spirit, and fill them with your word, so that Satan and the devil cannot enter into their body any longer. And use them. And Lord, he at one point said that he wanted to be a pastor. Lord, I pray that you fulfill the desire of his heart so that he can save a lot of drug addicts and bring them to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that you help our children not only memorize your Bibles and help them to have life experience, can truly understand your word and be the overcomer, and so that they can bring more people to come to know you. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.